Good evening. We had our second shoot day for our last leaders video yesterday. I have to tell you, there are some Christian men that are so Christian and so righteous that when you ask them to pretend that they're bowing down to a pagan idol, they just can't get down there. Leslie is such a man, and I have it on film, and you'll get to see it later. But we had a wonderful time, had a good time with the kids and the adults that were there, and really enjoyed the day. And I think we really did well as far as what we taped yesterday. I do want to remind everybody to go to housetopproductions.org in order to kind of see what's going on and keep abreast of what we're doing and the scheduling and things of that nature. But we did have a great day yesterday. And I think everybody now can understand that Gene did not lose it this morning. I had several people say, I thought Gene had forgotten the Lord's Supper. And, but he had not. And then someone also told me, they said, and we thought Nathan's just going along with it. we've had a good day today. Tonight we get back, due to just events and different things going on, we haven't had a third Sunday night lesson on people God wants you to know in quite a while. And so we're back to that tonight. And you know, when we think about, and the one tonight that we're going to talk about is the thankful leper. But I think, you know, as we think about people that God wants you to know, I think this really, we can almost retitle this one just a little bit. This is people God wants you to be. You know, that we've talked about some people that God wants you to know, and it's not the kind of people you want to be, but you need to look at that example and see what about them is not godly and not needed in your life. But in this particular case, I think we see an individual that we need to emulate in so many ways. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll begin with verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. Text says, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Well, I think one of the biggest sins that we see throughout the Bible in regards to direct sin as far as how we treat God is the sin of ingratitude. You know, that we take everything that God gives us, but we're not willing to really be thankful to Him. Or we might throw some lip service His way with a thank you, but we're not really thankful as we should be. And this goes all the way back to the beginning. You think about Adam and Eve. Who had it better than them? Right? In a relationship with God, literally, you know, this one-on-one kind of relationship with God that they had, being sinless. They had access to the tree of life to live forever. They had everything provided for them. They lived in a pristine, perfect world. But it wasn't good enough. And they forgot all about the one who gave it to them, didn't they? And they ate of the forbidden tree. Total lack of thanksgiving to God. But I think our best examples come as we move into the Israelite people, and we see that, you know, even when they were in captivity and God delivers them with those 10 plagues, those incredible miracles that God worked to bring those plagues about, and you see them come to the sea, the Red Sea, and they are there, and the Egyptian army comes upon them, and God opens up the sea or splits it, and they walk across on dry ground, and they get on the other side, and they sing His praises, how great He is, and just a few days later, they're going, God just brought us out here to kill us. And they forgot everything He did for them. And that is a repeated activity that goes on throughout the history of these people. You go to the Mount Sinai, the mountain's literally shaking and rumbling and lightning and thundering right there next to them. And they build a golden calf. And they begin to worship it and make and party around it. They get to the land of Canaan. They've been delivered time and time again. God has provided them food. He has provided them water. He has provided them clothes that never wear out. Everything has been given to them. And they get to the land, they go, oh, we can't do it. It's terrible. We're like grasshoppers. They forget about God. And they are ungrateful. They go into the land. God says, I will drive the people before you. All you have to do is go out and fight the battle and you win. That's it. And they won't do it. And they're not grateful for all that God had done for them. You go on into the history of the nation of Israel, you see men such as David that at times, in his worst times, was ungrateful to God. You see Saul, who had been given the kingship, but yet he was so ungrateful to God, he forgot about God and fixated on himself. Solomon, who was given everything that he wanted, given the wisdom along with the riches that he could have asked for. He was given everything. And yet he forgot about God by his own admission in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, it's very easy for us to become blind to the incredible blessings that God gives to us. Because they are so many and they are so great and they are so much a part of our lives that it's easy for us to take them for granted, isn't it? And to forget where they came from. Folks, our ability to stand here tonight in this building, we should be giving thanks every day. Just for that. And that's just a physical blessing. Not to mention the spiritual blessings that come through Jesus Christ. There are three observations I want us to take from the text real quick this evening. And the first thing is these men, when they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now that sounds very respectful, doesn't it? Jesus, Master. They call Him Master. It sounds very respectful. But yet, we see that when they are healed on their way to the priest, he's not so much master anymore, is he? They don't bother to go back. They don't bother to give Him the glory. So somehow we can look at this and we can say, oh, we got to give them some credit. They did go when they were told. So they had a certain level of faith. But once they got what they wanted, they forgot about God, didn't they? They forgot about the one who gave it to them. Because they have it now. And, you know, sometimes we need to be careful that we're not fickle in our prayers. You know, I remember it when I was a student minister at Arkansas State University, I remember that one time we did a kind of a study with prayer diaries. Because we are so fickle that what we want today, we forget we even wanted it next week, right? We're so transient in the things that we want. And God gives it to us next week, but we forgot we even asked Him about it, so we never give thanks. Folks, you know, when we're addressing God, we're asking Him for stuff, it would behoove us to ask for things that we're going to remember Him giving us. Number one, He's the Creator of all the universe. I think He's worthy of things that are worth remembering. Don't ask Him for things that you're going to forget in 6 days. Ask Him for the things that matter, and you'll remember them. And when He gives them to you, thank Him for them. You know, many people call Jesus Lord or Master in an effort to receive something. You know, I've known people that hardly darken the door of the church building until something happens, right? They get sick, or a family member gets sick, and suddenly they're there all the time. You know, it's only when they want something, and when the difficulty in their life kind of subsides and goes away, they do too. Because Jesus is only Master when I need something. Jesus is only Master when my life isn't going the way I want it to go. He's my panic button. I'm going to run and hit the Jesus panic button when my life is going downhill. But when I get back to the top, I'm going to forget Him. But that's not unusual, is it? That's exactly what Israel did. Every time things got bad, you look at the book of Judges, every time things got bad, they were taken into captivity. They cried out to God. But the minute that they were delivered and things got easy, they forgot all about Him. And God was not happy. You know, Matthew chapter 7 makes it clear that just saying, Lord, Lord, or just calling on the Lord at your convenience is never going to be acceptable to God. You know, some say master by simply coming to church, but doing very little else. We must put actions that have meaning behind the simple words that we might say. These actions need to demonstrate who our master truly is. The Jews claim that Abraham was their father and God was their father. And yet in John chapter 8, Jesus said, but your actions say something else. Your actions determine who really is your father, who really is your master. And He says, your father's the devil. Even though they were sitting there going, we're the sons of Abraham, we're the sons of God. No, you're not. Those are just words. John says to love in not in words, but in deed and truth, right? Words are cheap. Actions pay. They make a difference in your life and in the lives of people around you. You know, the second thing that we see is Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. You know, y'all are going to think I'm maybe going out there on this one just a little bit. But as I read this, it kind of crossed my mind as a parallel to us today. We're not going to go show ourselves to the priest because we don't have to be declared clean by them, as these men were being told to do in that day. But, you know, Jesus changes our lives. He changes our lives and He expects us to go and show it to others, right? I mean, that's what they were going to do. I'm going to show the priest that I'm leprosy free. Jesus is going to change my life. He's going to wash the sin from my life. And then He wants me to go and show people so that they can see. Matthew chapter 5 and in verses 14 through 60, Jesus said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid, right? When Jesus changes your life, people should see it. It should be obvious. It should be clear as a city setting on a hill. Then He finishes that in verse 16, so let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven, right? That's Jesus saying, go and show what I have done so that others can know my power. And so Jesus did that for these men. We are new creatures in Christ that the world needs to see so that they may know the power of Christ that can change their lives also. And then third, we need to be thankful for the blessings of Jesus Christ. You know, just like that one man, right, comes back. He's a Samaritan, because so remember, he's a dog, right? He's a worthless person in the Jews' eyes. And yet he's the one that comes back. He's the one that comes back and falls on his face before Jesus and gives Him praise and honor and glory and thanks Him for what He has done. And so when we pray, we need to remember to thank God. Thank you, God. I mean, I think if you just sat down and you wrote down all the things that you need to thank, your prayers would be long. Just thanking God. And we need to do that. You know, like the song said, right? We need to count our many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done, right? Oh, folks, that'll change your life. Because we get so wrapped up and, you know, we think, boy, I worked, I earned this, I got this, I got this, I bought this with my paycheck. You know, but we forget who made that possible. You never did anything. Nothing you have belongs to you except for one thing. And you need to remember that. God, it all belongs to Him. He's let you have it so that you can use it for His honor and glory. And give Him thanks for that. I want you to look for just a moment there in the text. Look at the disappointment in Christ. Statement. Now, there's several times in the Gospels where I think we see Jesus disappointed. And it comes out, I mean, while words on a page, it's hard to show that. I think there are times when words in the Gospel accounts demonstrated in Christ. I think one is John chapter 6, when all the masses left Him and Jesus turns to the disciples and goes, are you going to leave me too? You can just hear it. You know, he's down because all these people have just rejected Him. I think in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He comes back and finds the disciples asleep, could you not stay awake just for a little bit for me? You know, you can just feel it. It hurts your heart to hear Him say it. Listen to what He says here and tell me that you don't feel it. that you haven't felt it in your life when you've done something for somebody and they didn't seem to even have any thankfulness in their heart whatsoever. And you know that hurt, right? Were there not 10 cleansed? Can you hear it? But the 9, where are they? Look at all I did for them. And they didn't come back? I mean, all I did for them was heal them of a disease and stop them from being a complete outcast to society, right? They can go home to their families now. They can get back into life again instead of being out in the wilderness all the time and having cry from a distance, unclean, unclean. All Jesus had done for them is more than just healing them of leprosy. He's given them back their lives. Where are the 9? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Can you hear the disappointment? Let me tell you something tonight. Jesus Christ has not changed. Being perfect, He has no need to change. The same Jesus Christ we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the same Jesus Christ that's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God right now. And I think there are times when He probably looks at me, and He probably looks at a lot of us, and goes, where are they? Why aren't they here thanking me for all that I've done for them? I know I forget to. Now, this lesson's as much to me as it is to anybody. But we need to remember to return to God and to fall down and thank Him for what He has done. You know, the final verse seems to be final verses seem to be commentary about such people. You know, if we become those kind of people that don't see God, we don't give Him the proper thanks that He deserves, we become the kind of people unable to see the kingdom because we're unable to see God. You know, Jesus said you cannot, in John chapter 4, He said you cannot see the kingdom. Why? Because you're not seeing what God is doing. That's what He told Nicodemus. You can't see it. You don't have the right eyes. You're not looking at the right places. But listen to what Jesus says here in verses 20 through 21, the verses immediately preceding or following the text that we just read. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Can't you see it? Jesus Christ and all the miracles He was doing, why in the world are you asking about it? It's obvious. And Jesus Christ in your life, it should be obvious. But if we don't see it, we will fail to see the kingdom because we fail to see Him and the miracles the blessings that He brings down and the changes He makes in our lives, like He changed those men's lives. You know, the Pharisees could not see that the works of Jesus showed the kingdom of God in those miracles. They constantly failed to see it. And as a result, they failed to respond to it properly. You know, today, if we do not follow the example of this Samaritan leper and see the power of Jesus and acknowledge Him in thankfulness and worship, we too will miss the kingdom. You know, this is a week that we give in our country to Thanksgiving. And let me tell you what, as a group, there is no group of people that should understand the concept of Thanksgiving, not the turkey. I mean, you can tell I understand that concept. But I'm not talking about Thursday. I'm talking about the attribute of Thanksgiving in our lives. There's no group of people that should understand it to a higher degree than Christians. And we should, because we live our lives so blessed, given so much. And yet sometimes we're just like Adam and Eve, aren't we? It's not enough, God. What else you got for me? You know, it's just not enough. I'm not happy unless I'm getting something else. I'm getting something more. It's not good enough what you've done for me. I want more. Folks, we'll miss the kingdom with that attitude. Sometimes we're like the Israelites. We get victory after victory after victory, and we go, I'm tired. Thanks God for doing that. I'll say the words, but I'm not really going to do anything to show I'm thankful for it. We will never see the kingdom. Jesus Christ changes our lives. May we see it, may we show it, may we be thankful for it, that we might change others. This evening, if you're not a child of God, you do not know this incredible blessing of a changed life, a new life in Jesus Christ, but you can. You can by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being buried in baptism, rising to be that new creature. Jesus has changed you. He's washed your sins away, and you are a different creature, as 1 Corinthians tells us. And so you can rise up, and you can be new, and you can be different, and you can show the world, and you can thank God for all He's given to you. This evening, if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, if you need to once again rededicate your life to thankfulness to God, do that tonight. If there's anything we can do to assist you in that journey, won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.